remember this. Now, I'm not sure I'm worthy of saying this, but as I think about sharing with you at this time in my life and in the life of the church, I feel a little bit like Paul. He seeks to encourage Jesus' church in light of the fact that times change. And change can be good, brothers and sisters. Change can be good. It really is. God allows change at times to get us out of our nest once in a while. You know, I'm going off script. Sorry, Mike. But when I lived in Alaska, we studied the eagles because there was an eagle nest right over our house. Okay, wasn't so pleasant at 3 o'clock in the morning on June 21st because they were real noisy at that time. But when an eaglet is born in the nest, the nest has been prepared by the eagle, and it's made initially with really sharp sticks, and then the eagle plucks the feathers from its breast to pad the nest for the laying of the eggs. And then the eggs hatch, and the eaglets are up there, and they get fed, and they grow, and they grow. And there comes a time in life when they're supposed to learn to fly. And some eagles get up to the edge of the nest, and they take off, and they fly. And some just want to stay in the nest in that nice comfort nest. And that's when the eagle knows that it's time to make things a little uncomfortable. So that eagle will peck the down out of the nest until the eaglet is sitting on the sharp sticks that the nest was built with. In order to get that eaglet up to the edge of the nest in order to fly. Change is good. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But that uncomfortableness is what God allows sometimes for us to make that change. I pray that as I get ready to follow God's leading and Joyce and I go into the new ministry that God's prepared for us, that you will remember the Word of God. Of 16 years here, I pray that you'll remember the Word of God. So let's pray and consider the Word of God again this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. And Jesus, we thank you for the inspiration that you gave to the Word of God, Holy Spirit. And I pray that we'll remember, we'll always hold to, we'll always stand on the truth of your Word. And I pray your blessing upon our hearts and our ears this day. And I pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Going to share from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for the next couple of weeks. Want to look at verses 1 through 9 this morning. And it's up here on the screen. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles and listen and remember God's word to you. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. Well, let me remind you of this, brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ. The good news is where you must stand in this world. The good news is what saves you in this world for eternity. The good news is what Paul passed on to us through the work of the Holy Spirit in the scripture that we read and in the fullness of all of God's word. So, remember the good news and share the good news. That's what I want to remind you in this message today. Center your hearts, thoughts, and your life on the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is what will hold you when the storms of life assail you. The good news is what centers you when the joys of this world want to take you away from the good news. The good news is what keeps you in touch with life through Christ. The good news is greater than the life that you live on this earth because it is eternal. The good news, remember this and share it. Know that the good news is this. The good news is this. We have been separated from God by our sin. And Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. That's the good news. Amen. Yeah. He was buried and he was raised from the dead. Jesus was seen alive after his resurrection from the dead. We don't have it in this scripture, but we know that Jesus ascended to heaven that the Holy Spirit from heaven might come and dwell in our hearts and confirm in our faith all that is in God's word. That's the good news. Good news. Good news. Hang on to it. Good news. Meaning, when we turn from sin, when we believe and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are saved not only from sin, but we are also saved from death, spiritual death. As you are saved from spiritual death, as you follow Jesus, you are to remember the good news, and you're supposed to share the good news. That's why we are the church. We are the church because of the good news. We are the church that's supposed to live the good news and share the good news. I want to look at a reference for you. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, in relationship to sharing the good news. Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversion be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Now, let's focus on Colossians for just a few moments here. Here in Colossians verse 5, you are to, it says, live wisely as you share the good news. Okay? Always remember the good news is good news. All right? Got it? The good news is good news. It's not sad news. It's not beat you down news. It's the good news. So remember, the good news is good news. And share that news. Use discernment when you share the good news. Don't push the good news if you sense a person that you are talking to is not open to the good news. On the other hand, the good news is good news. So if you sense, or the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about talking to someone, go for it. Share the good news. God is the one that tugs at a person's heart. You share the good news, God is the one that tugs at a person's heart. And remember that good news. You share it. Verse 6 there in Colossians. When you remember and you share the good news, let your conversation be gracious and attractive. In the Greek translation of that, it says, seasoned with salt. Okay? Don't think you can argue someone into the good news. Okay? I believe we have established a church that believes that. Okay? We're not going to try and argue tactfully someone into the good news. The good news is that you can't argue someone into the good news. All right? Did you hear me? The good news is you can't argue someone into the good news. Debate, when it comes to faith, isn't going to bring home the point. If anything, arguing and debating will probably push a person into a corner where they will turn their back on you, they will turn their back on the good news, or they'll turn around and they'll come out fighting. So arguing and debate is not the way to share the good news. The concept of being seasoned like salt, with salt, is to create a hunger, to create a thirst. It's kind of like Lay's potato chips, all right? Okay? You know, you can't just eat one. Okay, and when the bag's empty, you're really thirsty. Okay? It creates that hunger, and it creates that thirst. That's the kind of good news hunger we're supposed to create in the world that we live in today. Jesus communicated the good news in a unique way with each individual that he came in touch with. If you look at Jesus, you go, you know what? Jesus really was sensitive to that person. He knew that person. He cared for that person. And he shared the gospel, the good news, in a special way with each person that had a need. Remembering the good news and doing the same as we follow Jesus is a key to living the good news. One of my favorite scriptures, and I know I've shared this before, but I get to share my favorites here at the end, is a section that's entitled An Approved Worker. And it's in 2 Timothy, and it's in the second chapter of 2 Timothy. I want to look at verses 23 through 26. Timothy writes, and again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments. They only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Now, isn't that good news that God is the one that changes people's hearts? God is the one that changes their hearts. God changed my heart. How about you? How about you this morning, right here and right now? Did God change your heart? Or was it someone with a tactful argument? Was it someone that beat you over the head with the word of God? And you've got scars to prove it. Okay? All right? What was it that changed your heart to the heart of faith in God? It was the gentleness, it was the grace of God. Remember this. The emphasis is made in 1 Corinthians 15 that we read, that all the events that make for good news is according to Scripture. Every one of those things that's described in what we read there in 1 Corinthians 15 is described as according to the Scripture. According to the Scripture. And according to the Scripture. When you share the good news of Jesus Christ, do it according to the Scripture. Remember the good news of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Now, The sword of the Spirit may not sound so gentle. It may even sound like it's in contradiction to what we just read in 2 Timothy a little bit ago. But it's how you handle the Word of God that makes all the difference. It makes all the difference on how you handle the Word of God. An approved worker will handle the Word of God with gentleness, okay? And tact, and understanding, and not whack somebody over the head, okay? Here, let me straighten you out, okay? Let me get you right now. We gently instruct with the Word of God. It's not a bending their knees until they submit, because that's not the good news. How many scars may you carry from someone hitting you with Scripture? Remember this. It's about grace. Remember this. It's about grace. Next week, as I'm going to focus again on 1 Corinthians 15 and how we are to remember, and all that we are to share is about grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that this congregation will remember your word. I pray that each soul that's here would feel the tug that you put upon their heart and respond to that. And that not only would we remember all the aspects of the good news, but that we would be moved by you, Holy Spirit, to share that good news, to bring the gentleness of your Spirit as we handle the word of truth and share that with others. Lord, we want it to be good news, not a defeated news, not an offensive news, but the good news. Help us to remember. Help this congregation to do so. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.